Good morning. Welcome on this, as Lee mentioned, a spring forward weekend. My so-called friend Eddie said to me, "Oh, well, I see you're speaking." He said, "Now I know how I can make up that hour of sleep I lost last night." Yeah, you know, I'm very thin-skinned, Eddie, and I'm really, really insulted, yeah. Let's open in a word of prayer, please. Lord, we thank you for bringing us together this morning in your presence. We thank you for the truth and the power of your written word. We thank you your Holy Spirit indwells us, and that he would be about his ministry this morning of illuminating this word to us, and in a way that you would have for each of us. In Christ's name, amen. So we'll have the slide, please. Yep, very good. Thank you, and thanks for doing the slide, Pavan. So we're going to look at some verses still in 2 Corinthians. We're going to look, first of all, in the fourth chapter. And you're thinking, we've already been over that. Well, this is God's word, and there's always more depth. It's inexhaustible. And so we're going to look at another theme there that's present in chapters 4 and 5, and also in Galatians chapter 6. Now, Mark mentioned last week that this book is a book of comfort. That's clear from the first chapter, in verses three, where it tells us that he's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulations. We'll also see that it's a book of encouragement. We're going to look at this theme of never losing heart in our lives and in our ministries. Now, this is an important concept for all ages, not just those of us leading our lives and looking at our four score here, but it's meant to encourage us at all ages to finish life well. I have a few examples. There was a man named Charles Simon in England who retired after 54 years of ministry, and he was still getting up at 4 a.m. every morning and spending time in the Word and with the Lord. And someone said to him, "Why don't you start taking it easy?" And he says, "What? Shall I not now run with all my might when the finish line is in sight?" There's a man named Malcolm Barrow who worked tirelessly for the Lord for many years. And at his funeral, and I have this on the wall in my office, I said, "He did not ask for God to lighten his load, but rather to strengthen his back." And R.E. Harlow was one of the three founding fathers of Emmaus Bible College, now Emmaus University. He died at 92 years old, but his approach was, and his comment was, "It's always too soon to quit. It's always too soon to quit." So again, these are examples of men late in life, but this concept applies here. It applies because, is there anyone here who hasn't experienced discouragement? If you haven't, you will. So, perhaps in your relationship with the Lord, your growth just seems slow and far away. Your quiet time gets interrupted by your kids who get up 2 minutes after you start. Or other things, you set time aside with your wife and family and something interrupts it. Or the kids don't seem that they'll ever learn to pick up their stuff in the house, or shut the doors, or turn off the lights. But more importantly, will they ever start showing signs of spiritual growth? And then at work and at school, there are many opportunities for discouragement, aren't there? Trying to maintain a testimony with your boss and your your fellow employees and with perhaps your teachers. And then there's opportunities for discouragement in church ministries. In any of these, we labor year after year, you know, in any area, Sunday school, nurseries, kitchen, building maintenance, etc. And there's always opportunity for discouragement there. There's opportunity for discouragement when we've put in time with spiritual counseling and with people and they still turn away from the Lord. So the Lord has placed each of us into an area of responsibility. We each have a spiritual gift or gifts. And some of them may seem unimportant or mundane, but none of them are. Each one is as important as the other, because all of them are to be done to the glory to the glory of God. You know, they may not seem as important as the ministry Paul had, but from the Lord's point of view, again, each one is. And Paul has provided us some reasons for encouragement. This is a ministry of hope that we can apply in these areas. I'm going to read from a version of New Testament called the Plain English. And we're going to begin then in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, by the mercy of God, we have been given this ministry. We do not lose heart. Then in 15 and 16 of chapter 4. For all this is for your sake, in order that the grace of God, increasing as the number of believers increases, may cause thanksgiving to increase still more to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though our outward self grows weak, our inner self is made new day by day. Chapter 5, verse 5. It is God himself who has made us ready for this change and has given us the Spirit, a part payment and promise of more. So we are in good heart always. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we have to walk by faith, not by sight. But we are in good heart. And then in Galatians 6 and verse 9, I'll begin in verse 7. Make no mistake, God cannot be cheated. Whatever a man sows, that he will reap. The man that sows for the flesh will from the flesh reap ruin. The man that sows for the Spirit will from the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow tired in doing right, for when the time comes, if we do not lose heart, we shall reap. So, if you're discouraged in any of these areas in your work or with your families or in these areas, it's easy to do, and it's one of the devil's most effective weapons. Remember that all doubt and all despair comes from the devil, not from the Lord. God will deal with us. He's faithful in dealing with our sin. But he is a God of encouragement. Now the devil knows that he's got us when we start to fight ourselves. And and then we can easily become discouraged. And then won't be able to tackle our own problems or help with anybody else's. And some of us are made that way. You know, the pessimistic glass is half empty versus optimistic glass half full personalities. Now, Paul knew that it was hard to stay on top of things. He shares here, then, in these verses, how he learned to be content, as he tells us in Philippians 4. And he was optimistic. It was a process. You know, we read in Hebrews that even Christ learned obedience through suffering. Paul says, but now, you know what? Nothing's going to upset my equilibrium, put me off balance. And it can be comforting to us. Now, we know that he wasn't always like that, but that he went through this process and arrived at this point. Other versions that say other things, such as we don't play the coward, or the Mark Keller version from last week was we don't get discouraged. And I'm going to, at the end, share these concepts from other versions. But we'll think, well, okay, that was okay for Paul. He was special. He was really, one of God's chosen ones, and things were easy for him. He had easy circumstances. Not so much. 2 Corinthians 1:8. We were utterly and unbearably crushed. 2:4, serving with many tears. 4:8, in every way hard pressed and perplexed. Chapter 6, we had hardships and we were at the point of death. Chapter 7, we had no rest and we were troubled at every turn. And we had in chapter 11, anxiety for the churches. And in chapter 12, kind of a subtle approach, he said, we were not too elated by these things. So he had plenty to be discouraged about. There was plenty to be discouraged about in the Corinthians church. It wasn't perfect. When I was a young Christian attending an assembly, I had some things I thought just weren't right. So I went to see one of the elders there. And he patiently listened, and he said then, well, you know what, Larry? If you ever find the perfect church, make sure you don't go there, because you will ruin it. And I changed the subject. So, there were many issues in this church in Corinth. There was worldliness, there was disunity, there was disorder in worship. Blatant sin. Some of them doubted the resurrection. There were lawsuits against each other. Idolatry. There was intellectual snobbery. Many were immature and they were unstable. But Paul still then relates to us these reasons to be encouraged even in the face of what was going on in that church. And the first we see there in chapter 4 and verse 1. Excuse me. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Because he had received this ministry, and he was thrilled with it. He was gripped with the wonder of the gospel and the opportunities that the Lord had given him to share it. He wasn't self-appointed. He was entrusted with this ministry. He wasn't self-made. He was qualified by God, tells us in chapter 3. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said, I didn't deserve it. He said, I am the least of the apostles. Well, none of us deserve it, right? We fail him, but he keeps on working with us. And we can continue to improve in our ministries in our lives as we submit ourselves to Him. There's a great picture in Isaiah chapter 64 about the potter with a vessel. And I won't read the verses. I'll just share the concept. Is you have a potter's wheel with clay and someone talented to be able to produce something on there, which is, I tell you, is not me. And they have a hand inside the vessel, and they have a hand outside the vessel shaping this vessel into what they want it to be. The concept is that the hand inside is the Holy Spirit giving us the strength we need as the pressures are applied on the outside. And as those things work together, this beautiful vessel is eventually created. great concept. So, excuse me. So we know that this was the ministry of the new covenant. Man, we had broken the old one. We couldn't keep it, so the Lord brought a new one. The thou shalt, was changed to I will. It was changed from failing man to the unfailing Jesus. This one who said, I will remember your sins no more. The new covenant then was a covenant for us failures. And there was a new covenant in his blood, and it cost him his blood to bring it into existence. So we have this to share with others, that the Lord Jesus has died for our sins, and we have belief in him and look forward to eternal life. With a message like that, we should never lose heart. Then in verses 15 and 16, excuse me. For all things are for your sake, for all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So more and more thanksgiving and more glory is brought to God with each new believer, which is encouragement to keep on. Encouraged through the Holy Spirit, encouraged for those that have come to the Lord. It keeps our inner man and woman renewed. So we read here that we are daily endowed with this new strength within us. If you're not feeling it, then perhaps we are not appropriating it as we should. The Lord will take what he has and will provide what we need to get through it. F.B. Meyer had a formula for this. Your blank, Lord. And, for each Christian, we've received everything we need to live a Christian life to fulfill our ministries here. We're told that in Ephesians 1. We've been blessed in the heavenly places. We have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So for Meyer's formula, if you're lonely, your companionship, Lord. If you're unhappy, your joy, Lord. If you're anxious, your courage, Lord. If you're angry, your patience, Lord. If you're weak, your strength, Lord. I think Paul probably had some idea of this. He said, my body has been through it. It's a wreck. But I have this daily inner renewal because there are new believers in us, and we can have thanksgiving for that. And because I know that the Lord does not knows our load, because I know the Lord knows our load limits, and he won't put anything above. We think of that often. The Lord's not going to give me anything more or above what I can handle. I'd like to add to that, he's not going to give us anything below what we can handle either. Something to consider. He knows those limits above and below. He wants us to learn. If we're overloaded, it may be because we've overloaded ourselves. So he knows our point of collapse, and the Lord supplies us strength daily for the inner man. And he's waiting to renew us. Martin Luther said, had a quote, he said, I am continually confronted with innumerable and impossible opportunities. won't spend time on it, but the last two verses of that chapter, 17 and 18, show the counter process, if you will, in this area, where the very trials that are wearing us away, we're told, the Holy Spirit's using to prepare us for more and more glory. So our outer man deteriorates, the inner man grows, and the spirit that's within us never ages, never ages. It rather just increases. So we don't lose heart because we've been given this great ministry. We don't lose heart because we are endowed with, because of we have this daily renewal. Then in chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We don't lose heart because we are endowed with the Holy Spirit, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. It's part payment of a promise that's more. So this guarantee or this part payment is talked about here in Ephesians, in Corinth here, and also in Ephesus. Those were both logging ports, and trees would be cut down, brought down to the port, floated in the water, and someone from a lumber company would come and sort through those as they were floating there, and would put their mark on those of the ones that they wanted, and put down some money as a part payment, as a guarantee that they would later come and remove the log for milling. So these folks in Corinth and Ephesus would understand this concept that the Holy Spirit's our guarantee now, but there's more to come. More to come. No experience can exhaust his resources. He is inexhaustible. And he's there, he's called alongside to help, you know, as the paraclete. But he's not just making visits, as did in the Old Testament. You know, for those of us in Christ, he's living with us. He's not just visiting us, he's living with us and in us. He's always present, always available. It's important for us to remember his work, the Holy Spirit's work. Who was it who convicted you of sin? Who was it who pointed you to Christ? Who was it who began the work of regeneration in your heart and life? Who is it who makes Christ real to you now? Who is it who inspired the Scriptures? Or who was it who inspired the Scriptures, sorry. Who is it who illuminates the Scriptures to us now? Who is it who teaches you to pray? Who is it who sanctifies you? Who is it who empowers your service and your ministries? So the Holy Spirit functions in each of us in the way that we need him to at the moment. So there's no need to despair. We can be confident and encouraged and not lose heart. We've been given a great ministry. We are renewed daily. The Holy Spirit indwells us. And then in verses 7 and 8 of chapter 5, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We don't lose faith because we act by, we don't lose heart because we walk by faith and not by sight. We gaze not as what is seen, but what is unseen. Now, that's tough for us. Instead, we usually look around at what's going on around us and in the world, and that can be discouraging. But if we look in faith and look at what's going on with an eternal perspective, we can looking forward to Christ's return, we can be optimistic. We're told this in excuse me, in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. So what do we spend most of our time looking at? What's around us, or considering eternal perspective and the impossibilities of them? The God puts us into impossible situations purposely to get us to walk by faith and not by sight. If we take our eyes off of the Lord in these circumstances, we will lose heart, be discouraged. But if by faith we latch on to the omnipotent God for whom nothing is impossible, we do not lose heart. We have been given a great ministry. We're renewed daily. We've been empowered with the Holy Spirit. We can walk by faith and not by sight. And then in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. If we do not lose heart, we shall reap, it says, at the proper time, when we stand before the Lord, we shall reap. He'll bring us through to maturity, and we will win, and we will be renewed, and we can look forward to the time of being able to cast our crowns at the feet of the Lord Jesus. We shall reap in due time. So we can apply these truths, these reasons for encouragement, to these areas of discouragement. They are eminently practical. To the young or the old Christians striving to follow the Lord, don't lose heart. To the husband and wife working on their relationship, especially if one is unsaved, don't lose heart. To parents of children, and to the young mother discouraged by the daily monotony and the pressures of that incredibly important ministry, do not lose heart. To the worker or the student living and witnessing for the Lord, don't lose heart. To those ministering in the assembly or in parachurch camps and so on, do not lose heart. We've been given a great ministry of the new covenant in Christ to share God's love and mercy. Our inner strength is renewed daily. Glory is brought to Christ. We have been endowed with the Spirit to enjoy his fruit here and with heavenly blessings in Christ, as we read in Ephesians. We walk by faith, not with the world's ideas and the concerns, but with eternal perspective. Randy read this morning from Ephesians 4 that those that are unsaved are darkened in their understanding. What a blessing we have to be living in the light instead of that darkness. And so we can live with this eternal perspective in the light, looking forward to Christ's return. And we shall reap in due time. So I mentioned that I was going to list some other translations or versions of this concept, which I'm going to relate now. My brothers and sisters, we are always of good courage. We don't give up. Nothing can daunt us. We are never in despair. We are confident whatever happens. We never cease to be confident. We are sure. The harvest is assured. We do not slacken our efforts. We are in good heart always. David shares this concept. He experienced these things. And in Psalm 27, we read, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And in John chapter 16, verse 33, this is from Jesus himself. This is the Phillips version. I have told you all this so that you may find your peace in me. You will find trouble in the world, but never lose heart. I have conquered the world. The ESV version is, take heart, I have overcome the world. We're going to close in prayer. We're going to close, Lord, as Paul did in this letter. Brethren, be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. And from the book of Hebrews, we read, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, laying aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangles us, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary, fainting in heart. Pray in Christ's name. Amen.